commercial break. We've moved about 20 minutes north from where we earlier were. We're near Pinnacle Peak, I think, right, Rob?
Thereabouts, yeah.
And most of this stuff happens at night, huh?
Yeah, I would say most of it happens at night. And whether that's due to the fact that you can see it better at night or the actual activity happens at night, I don't think is clear, but yeah, you can see it better at night.
Were you in Phoenix during the original Phoenix Light time of the 1997 one?
Yes, I was.
Did you see anything?
No, I did not.
In fact, you weren't really aware of UFOs, at least, and not seeing them until fairly recently.
Right. It was UFOs were probably the same category as Loch Ness Monster for me. I mean,
we were at a different view of this Twin Peaks area, these two mountaintops. And Rob Klagosti, we have with us also Rick Diogiano. And Rick, we're looking at your car. You have an interesting license tag.
The letters CNUFOs.
And that pretty well describes your website and what you've been doing.
A year ago, almost to the day, I've been catching a lot of night orbs, and 70 to 80% of my sightings are in the day. Catch a lot of white orbs and morphing objects and objects that burst into golden orbs and back into a egg shape.
Now, do you live close to this area or where else than Phoenix?
I live 10 miles to the southeast of here.
Okay, so Rob lives the furthest north.
Yep, so far, yeah. And it seems like a lot of the objects head in this direction or come from this area, so it's kind of like I'm in a path of wherever all the traffic is going.
I want to talk to you about the daytime sightings here in a moment, but you were telling me something interesting on the way over here about they seem to have a schedule.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it seems like, and now I'm kind of figuring it out. When it first started up last April, I was seeing these night orbs around 10:30 at night, and as the summer progressed, it seemed like every day it was like an extra minute or 5 to 10 minutes later I would start seeing them. Now in the wintertime I would see them at 5 in the morning till 6 in the morning, and now I'm seeing them at between 4 and 5. And it seems like they were in the western sky, and now they seem to be moving over my head and appearing over my head and moving east. And that's where they were in the summer. They were showing up in the eastern sky, and now they're showing up overhead, moving towards the east, it seems like.
You're saying they come in the evening around 7:30 or 8 or something?
Yeah, right now the time moved up a little bit. It's about 7:30, between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. You get a big cluster. You'll see 3 or 4 in a row, and then you won't see anything at all.
And then they come back early in the morning. Almost an 8-hour shift there.
Yeah. They're working full-time, actually.
No part-time ETs.
No. Honestly, you won't see anything. I can go out between 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning and won't see anything. But right around 5:15, they start showing up. And they come in, you know, come in cycles. It's just hard to tell. You can see one, you can see 15 of them.
Now, were you around in 97 when the first big flap of Phoenix Light showed up?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was here and didn't see it. But I did see a bright orange orb 1 month to the day right after that in April. So, but ever since then, no, I didn't see anything until last year. So I missed out on that.
So, but all of a sudden, you become aware of a lot of activity.
Yeah.
What about these daytime sightings? What are you actually seeing?
Oh, man, you name it.
Are we talking about just like Rob, you're walking out of your backyard and taking a look?
Yes, actually I am. I go out in my backyard, and I kind of get a feeling to go out there. It's real weird. I just all of a sudden go, I got to go outside, and then I'll look up, and I'll see anything. I can see discs, you know, morphing objects, red worms. Really, the objects seem like they're alive sometimes. You know, they change shape. And
yeah, in fact, I talked to a fellow today that insists he thinks some of them are alive.
Yeah, I have really weird video. It looks like I have a dinosaur in the sky, and it appeared out of nowhere and hung around for about an hour.
So the dinosaur, that's pretty akin to a flying dragon. So maybe the mythology wasn't all that far off.
You would think. Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, I'm catching a bunch of weird stuff, and a lot of them are the white orbs, but, yeah, once in a while you get something that just really shocks you.
How about unique videos?
Yeah, my favorite one is on page 4 right now. It's called a red worm, and it's an object that was red, white, and blue balloons, so we thought, and it turned out to hover over our house, stretch out, and change color, and then split into many pieces and go in all directions. So I have that up there. I also have a huge triangular craft is what I'm calling it. It was on October 14th. You can look it up on there. It's on
October 4th, 2004.
Of 04, right, yeah. And also I have a new one up I just put up. It's of a craft that just appeared over my house during a storm, and I didn't know at the time. I called it ball lightning, but it turned out to be a triangular craft, so that's up there now too.
You know, they say, in fact, we had Bill Hamilton on here a little earlier, and he said he had reports back here in 97 of one of those triangle craft being a mile and almost mile and an eighth long. 10,000 feet.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it. I have one. That's another one of my favorites that I caught on page 4 on my video section is three orbs, you know, three lights that form a perfect triangle.
Yes,
and
uh-huh.
It was huge. I can't tell you how big it was, but it could have been a mile wide.
And so that was probably lights on each end.
Yeah, it was perfect triangle.
Perfect.
Anyway, I taped it for 5 minutes right over the house, right over Scottsdale, and it just hovered and went behind the clouds. And
my first question is, why Phoenix? I mean, definitely lots of activity here.
Yeah, it seems like it's always been here from what I've been hearing, talking to other sky watchers that have been doing this way longer than me. But it seems like the activity is just, I don't know, just come out of nowhere. Everybody seems to be seeing it. So, I mean, I can tell you what time to go out, and you can see these night orbs. So it's not like they're hiding anymore, it seems like.
It's almost like they're doing a show for you.
Yeah, yeah, and kind of like a little schedule here and there, you know. You can catch them at the same time every night.
And, do you draw any conclusions from that? I mean, some people, as we mentioned earlier, figure some of these things are living beings up there. I'm not so sure about that, but they do look that way.
Yeah, I know. Well, some of the video that I caught, it can just make you scratch your head as to what it is and what they're doing up there or what it is. I have no idea what they are, but I don't know what their agenda is either. I haven't been abducted that I know of. So far, yeah. No weird dreams or anything like that. But you do have interesting things that appear in the house. I have seen balls of energy in the house, and our lights have gone off and for no reason. We're, you know.
Now, when we stand out here by these Twin Peaks, and we kind of need to describe it to everyone, we're actually in a residential area with a public facility down the street. Like this light over there, that's probably an airplane, right?
Yeah, it definitely looks like an airplane.
So we want everybody to know that we can tell a difference. And up into over your shoulder there, that's definitely a star.
Yeah, that's definitely a star, yeah.
Probably, well, not...
Maybe.
I think it's Sirius, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it. So we can tell the difference. Now, these mountains, they're really got an interesting look to them. Anyway, they almost glow.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they kind of have their own field, it seems like, of energy, and you can actually see the distortion field coming down the mountain sometimes right up to your camera. It's real noticeable.
And Rob has been over there with his camera in the dark. Rob, how are we doing? Are we getting anything yet? I've never ceased to be amazed by the way that the whole peak area just kind of glows. It's like it's a translucent almost.
It glows a little bit, and actually we've been watching the flashes over there, and so I'm putting it on my things, a to-do list here to when we get back to the house to check Doppler radar and see if there is lightning in the area.
But yeah, I don't think there is. It doesn't appear to be.
There's not a cloud in the sky.
No.
But I don't know. Did you see that, Rich, flash over there just now?
Yeah.
They're getting some flashes behind the institution here.
Last time we were here, we had some flashes of lightning, but maybe not as definite as this time.
Yeah, I just saw two of them. So the flashes are located where the people that I had a meeting with.
It's right over by them, right?
Yeah, interesting.
Now, they've been seeing some sort of, I don't know, lack of a better term, pillar-like object that's gaseous or smoky?
Yeah, they described it pillar, distortion, water column type of movement through the grounds there. And I guess it's very similar to what I've got on videotape. I just have described it a little bit different way. I've described it as a column of distortion. Column of water is definitely could be described the same way, what I've seen. So yeah, I just saw...
Yeah, there goes again. We talk about this. Each time you say you don't have to wait very long, and you don't.
No, it's pretty much a very subtle nightly occurrence that turns into, on occasion, something that's very much other than subtle.
Now, was this sacred Indian land or something?
Yeah, we're about 100 yards from three old ruins. Now, they're kind of come off the mountain in a line here. The archaeologist that I was here with said that the site is probably a more of a ceremonial site, or one that was occupied by a medicine type man, just because there's not a whole lot of pottery. I mean, there's pottery you can readily find out there, but it's not a pottery deposit like you would find in a heavily habitated ruin. It seems to be more used on occasions. And
what do we see here?
We see some kind of rolling distortion over there, and another flash up just over the mountain. So they've got a little activity.
Yeah, it's over there, and when you call it rolling distortion, why don't you explain to our audience what we're talking about? It's almost translucent, and I mean, you see it.
Yeah, you can definitely see it. It looks like when you look down the highway or street in the summertime, and you can see the heat, you know, kind of the wavy action, but you can see it coming down the mountain sometimes, and it comes right up to the camera.
And we're talking about something being pitch dark out here, even with a moon.
Right.
And the last time we were out here, it was really dark.
Yeah.
So it would have to glow or at least be seen somehow.
It's somehow, yeah. You can see it. It's just, you can see there's something. It's just doesn't look like the rest of the mountain. It's a little blurry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you can tell.
You have any ideas about this? Is very puzzling to me.
You know, I don't know, unless there's a vortex here or there's some sort of energy field underneath, or it's the rocks that are in the mountain. I don't know. I just saw a flash of light right on the base of the mountain over here, too, as I was talking to you.
Have you ever been up here on this mountain in the daytime?
No, we came here at sunset last year, and we all had video cameras. There was three of us here. And all of a sudden, Rob goes, "Are there two over there by you?" Because I'm like, "Well, no, I don't see anything." And then we played back the video, and there was all these white lights popping up around me.
Wow.
Like I was the center of attention for some reason.
They were taking a look at you.
Oh, yeah, there were several. There was like five or six of them. And I just freaked out when I saw it. I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." It was in the bush. You can see the bush light up. Yeah, that was really cool. I have that on my website, too.
Are you using a video camera now or a still camera?
This is just a video camera, okay. Regular Sony Handycam with the zoom.
When you look out your backyard, you live in Scottsdale, right, or close to there?
Well, I live right by Desert Ridge, which is 5 minutes from Scottsdale.
Do you see anything of, you know, these shimmering things, or have you ever seen any of that over there?
No, nothing at all like that. You know, like I said, I really don't even have to leave my backyard to see anything, so what I see is generally coming overhead. So no rolling distortion by my house, that's for sure.
Okay, we're broadcasting here outside next to the Twin Peaks, and both these gentlemen have been seeing quite a few things. It's been fairly recent, too. They were probably here before. You just weren't really tuned in to it, probably.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, I mean, people have been seeing this stuff for years, and I'm just new to it. So I guess it's my turn.
One of the things I find that's interesting is right up a couple of miles from here, I think they have the university has some rocks and sculptures and things they've found over the years, and they've got some drawings that look very similar to some of the things that we see.
Right, yeah, you can see the from what I've seen. I haven't seen them personally, but, yeah, they show the stars in the sky moving, and other things.
There went a complete little flash of light straight across. I saw it shimmering. It's almost like an airport beacon, only not really.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you saw it. Yep.
Yeah. As we were talking, it caught a side of my eye. Now down in South Mountain, we were talking to Jeff today, and he says that he's found lots of these drawings, and they look exactly like what he's seeing.
Yeah, I heard about that. I understand that these drawings are all over the valley, and you can just basically hike anywhere and see them.
I'll go over and ask Roberta if she's seen anything, old Eagle Eye herself. Have you spotted anything tonight?
Yes, and we're going to go and investigate.
Where are we going to go investigate at?
Over by on the other side of this mountain.
We're going to get in the car and go over there, or we're going to walk over the mountain?
No, we're going to get in the car. We'll get a little bit closer.
Road open for me. The people that...
Oh, they did?
Yeah, so we can drive right back to... Bumpy. Okay.
Okay, well, I guess I'll ride with her, and we'll meet you over there. Yeah, you probably better take it. We're going to break down here and go to the other side of the mountain. How does that sound?
I can't wait. This sounds great.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Anthony Miles, director of the award-winning motion picture, Fast Walkers, They Are Here. It's my pleasure to introduce you to our new series of explosive and revealing one-on-one interviews entitled Fast Walkers, Open Files. Our first volume, Fast Walkers Open Files Volume 1, features well-known and respected Texas journalist and best-selling author, investigator Jim Mars, whose books Alien Agenda, Crossfire, and Rule by Secrecy have sold millions of copies worldwide. His explosive revelations will astound and satisfy listeners who thirst for truth and forthright commentary. Also featured in Volume 1 is internationally respected talk show host Jerry Pippin. Also presented in Volume 1 is the respected world-class futurist Alfred Lambremont Weber, the founding father of exopolitics. And be sure to check the FastWalkers.com website on a regular basis for the upcoming release of additional FastWalkers Open Files volumes.
Okay, we are now off of the main road, and we're in a rocky path that's really built for SUVs. We have a Vibe there. We're in kind of a miniature SUV, so Roberta, I think we'll make it okay, but it's pretty bumpy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Going all up a hill here, and this is literally the south part of that mountain. I guess so. Maybe we're going to the north end of the mountain. That's probably be more correct. We're on the east side of it right now. And so we are in pretty rough going here, but we're still going to make it, I'm pretty sure, because it is very, very, very bumpy. Okay, he's going to... I think that's as far as he wants you to come, Roberta. You can't go any further.
No, I
can't. No. Okay, we're going to stop and get out and walk up here and see what's happening.
Let's see. Probably just turn the lights off and see what we can see.
Yeah, turn the lights off, I guess.
Turn the lights off.
Okay, now we're probably on the east side of this mountain now.
We're on the east side of the mountain. And obviously... there's not a cloud in the sky because I'm seeing lights on the horizon, so we don't have any clouds in the area. Could be making...
Yeah, Rich, there's no clouds, no rain, no thunderstorms around here.
No, nothing at all. Nothing threatening anyway.
Light just popped up right there.
What's that red light flashing?
Or is that an airplane?
It's probably an airplane.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Okay, we see a light. It may be an airplane. We're checking it out. Rich is looking through his video camera with the zoom, and we'll see what we can see here. It Interesting enough, in the desert, you can feel the cool breeze at night this time of year.
Yeah, sure is. Nice and cool back here.
And, of course, the full moon or a moon pretty close to it over those peaks.
And so there's really, basically what you're saying, exterior reason for light.
So it looks to me like it may be coming from the interior somehow.
Well, we saw the flashes actually showing up in the side of the building. So to me, it would kind of, well, actually, lightning's not even a... a factor now either. So yeah, it would seem like they were the flash source was between the far north mountain that we're looking at right now and the place where we were looking as lookies.
Rich and, Rom, I guess the main thing we can establish from this distance is that there's no reason for that light source for that flashing light.
That's
the main
thing.
There's no thing
lightning established here, and that.
Shine your light down there on the, that does look like the what used to be a door. It's covered up by cement or something.
Basically, we've gone about as far as we can go.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
going to get out of here.
Right. You're going to have to do some backing, I guess.
It gets dark. It gets dark.
Oh, yeah. It's dark back here. And interestingly enough, it's where we just found a fault back here, which is going to be about 500 to 800 yards just due north of this position. There's a fault in a layer of what we think is barium deposit.
Rich and Rob, thanks for taking us up here, and Roberta, thanks for driving me up here in your Vibe. It'll be a long back down the mountain. I wonder what they use as road lens. We did see some strange things. Something seems to glow there, flashing lights. We did not see the red glaze or fog that we saw earlier at the base of the mountain. But I do see the outlines of what used to be a door. That's where. Mysterious things happening in Phoenix. Thanks to everyone for helping us put together this Phoenix Light Show. And we won't bore you with the facts of getting back down the mountain, but we'll make it back down. Thanks to Jane Swartley, our web production director, and to everyone who helped make this show possible. This has been a Phoenix Light Special. I'm Jerry Pippin.